Chazal tell us that the 14 years that Yaakov Avinu hid himself away in the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver, or more specifically Aver, because Shem already had died at that time, he didn't sleep for 14 years. That doesn't mean that he didn't sleep at all, because that's impossible, humanly impossible, to the point where the Gemara says that if somebody makes a shvua that he will not sleep, he swears not to sleep for 3 days or more, we give him lashes and tell him to go to sleep, because it's impossible. It's a shvua shav, it's a an oath that one cannot fulfill. So it's a meaningless an oath in vain. So Yaakov Avinu was a human being. It was no way that he could stay up 14 years straight. So what does it mean? It means that he didn't lie himself down in bed and prepare himself to go to sleep. He was learning the whole time, and when he was tired, he put his head down, and he slept what he needed, and he got up. He never went to sleep for 14 years. And now, Yaakov Avinu is running away from Esav. He'll be very soon in Haran, right, safe in Lavan's house. He's on the way, and that night he goes to sleep. He prepares a rocks around his head and makes it his point to go to sleep. Not that he sits by a tree for a few minutes and dozes off like he did in the Beis Medrash. Now he has a royal night's sleep. Why? Couldn't wait one more night? 14 years. Now you're running away. You're exposed, vulnerable. Right, one more night, doze off a little bit, and keep traveling through the night. Why this night did he decide, Vayishka b'mokamohu, in that place he slept? So he's thinking to explain it in the following way. Yaakov Avinu, running away from Esav, going to Lavan, leaving Eretz Yisrael, is the archetype for Galus. Right. This was the first galus that Yaakov as an individual experienced, but it was a symbol, like Maisa Avos, Simon Labanim, it was a symbol for the galus that we're in, the galus of Edom, the galus that we are in because of the Romans, because of Edom. So whatever Yaakov Avinu did was a sign for the future. It represented different aspects of the galus. And I think that galus can be compared to sleep. In fact, we have a hint of that at least, that B'shuv Hashem Shiva Sion Hayinu Kicholmi, that when God returns Shiva Sion from the Galus, it's as if we had been dreaming the whole time. In fact, Choni Amago wondered, how could it be? Somebody slept for 70 years and dreamt for 70 years, and he went to sleep for 70 years. So you see that Galus is like sleeping and dreaming, and when you get out of Galus, the Geula is like waking up from a bad dream. Now, sleep, Chazal say, is 1/60th of death. And that doesn't mean if you have 60 people sleeping in a room that a Kohen can't walk in. It also doesn't mean that if you sleep 60 times, you're gone. Right? What it means is that the number 1/60th is a symbolic number. By kashrus, if you have something fall that's not kosher, fall into 60 times kosher things, so under most circumstances, with some qualification, its whole mixture is permitted. Because once it's 60 times, right, it loses its identity. Something that falls into 60 times its volume loses its identity. That means that 1/60th, it's not more than a 60th, it's just a 60th, is the smallest amount that still retains its identity, even though it's mixed in with something else. Therefore, using that as an idea, the idea would be that something that we say is 1/60th of something else means it retains the identity of that in the smallest amount. In other words, there's still a connection between this and this, even though they're not really the same, but in a small way, this small thing has the identity of the big thing. Okay, now what does that mean? So sleep, in a small way, is identified with death. How so? What is death? Death is the total separation between the soul and the body. Sleep is a partial separation between the soul and the body. They don't actually separate. Soul doesn't leave a person at night. But the body becomes inactive, and therefore the soul becomes more attached and more sensitive to the spiritual world, and the body is basically inactive. That is a similar state of death in a conceptual way. Okay. Now, since the death is that the body is inactive, and the soul is more involved in the spiritual realm than in keeping the body going, right? So the inactivity is what is considered like death. Just like death is total inactivity of the body, this is partial inactivity. And therefore, a person becomes tameh to a certain degree, or ruach ra descends on him at night when he's sleeping, just like when a person dies, he exudes tumah. But where does the ruach ra remain when the morning comes? On your fingers. Because fingers represent ma'aseh yadayim, action. So the whole concept of death by sleep is inaction, so the tumah is on your fingers. And you wash it, right, as if to rededicate it to action for the coming day, in when your soul comes back and revives the body to action. Now, Galus, the Kuzri says, is like death. In Galus, we're dead. We're like a dead nation. We're missing a lot of the essence of what the Jewish people is. We don't have Eretz Yisrael or a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have that close connection to the Shechina. The Shechina is in Galus. So to a certain degree, we're also inactive. And we're also like we're dead. Okay? And on the other hand, sleep has another aspect to it. It is a refreshment, there's a better reinvigoration. It's a time for rest to get back your kochos, right, for the future. It gives you the ability to correct all the tiredness and all the things that are negative from the day before, and to rest, and therefore to get reinvigorated, a recharge of the battery. So on the one hand, sleep represents inactivity, which is similar to death. On the other hand, it's a preparation for new life, for new activity, right, by resting and recharging your batteries. That is exactly what Galus is. On the one hand, Galus, we're missing a lot of the things that give us life. Even Torah is minimized in Galus. Malka v'soreh abagoyim ein Torah. So Torah, which is our very life, isn't there. Our connection to God, the Shechina, is hester panim, is hidden, detached from us, so that life force is taken away from us. Our ability to function is curtailed, right? We're at the mercy of the nations of the world. And we are more passive than active in Galus. And even in today's world, where we have our own state and army, we're still passive. We're very basically run by the nations of the world. And we can't do too much on our own. All you have to do is see what they can react in Gaza or to Lebanon or to Iran. Not too much activity. So we're still in Galus. In any case, so on the other hand, Galus is a correction, a chance to correct the mistakes of the past through the Yisurin we go through the difficulties we go through in Galus, and to reinvigorate ourselves and refresh ourselves and recharge our battery, so we'll be ready for the Geula and to deserve to be redeemed. And when the Geula comes, we'll be able to hold on to it. So Galus has both of these aspects, just like sleep has both of these aspects. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, on his running away to Lavan, which was the beginning of Galus, wanted to enact what Galus was. He's going to sleep now. All he's going to have is his dreams. But the actual activity is going to cease because in Galus, a person's asleep. However, the preparation for Galus, before we went into Galus, what prepared us was learning Torah nonstop. The more Torah the Jewish people learned when they were still in Eretz Yisrael, during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and surely during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was specifically there to prepare us, the Chachamim, redacted the Mishnah during that time. And the study of Torah was paramount, because they knew that it was the study of Torah nonstop that would enable us then to go into that hibernation. It's a good example. It's like hibernation. Hibernation is inactivity, but it's in order to get the kochos, the strength, to be able to be reinvigorated and reawaken after the winter's over. So that is, in order to be able to go into that hibernating state, we needed the energy of Torah nonstop to be able to make that state of hibernation positive. And that's why ki yitnu bagoyim, it's only through Torah study in Galus that we're going to be redeemed, because it's the Torah study that makes the Galus bearable and also positive. Okay. And that's why it says that when Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael, it was dark, and the light went away from him, and Ruach HaKodesh left him, and it was all darkness. That as soon as he left Eretz Yisrael, he was enveloped with Galus. And that's what Galus is. Galus is a time of night, a time of sleep, a time of dreams. And that's why it says, Vayifka Bamokom. Yaakov Avinu, what's it called, the Medrash says, wanted to pass by, and the place was like a wall in front of him. He hit into a stone wall, right? And he couldn't go anywhere. That's also what Galus is. Galus is a wall that prevents us from going on. We're stuck, and we're forced to be inactive. But that inactivity, if used properly, is a preparation for the future activity when we'll awaken, kumi, yisorari, ori, wake up is the gula. And I was thinking that maybe that's why the greatest intensity of our prayers today is by a wall. Right? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We daven by a kosel, because it represents the fact that we're standing up against a stone wall. Right? We can't move on, but we can make the best of the situation where we are. That's the idea, I think, of standing in front of the kosel. We're prevented from going to the Makom HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you went up on Har HaBayis and you created all these positive, active kinds of powers and energies in the world. Now we're standing, right, at a stone wall. We can't move on. We can't go up there, but we can make the best of the situation we have, even though we're inactive, but we can recognize our dreams, recognize what the future is, and use this period of Galus as a preparation, as a recharge of the batteries for the future. That's why Yaakov Avinu at that time established the prayer of Maariv. Now Maariv is interesting because it's the only one of the prayers that is not mandatory. It's only a reshus. It's only a voluntary prayer. Even though Tosfos says that we've accepted it as mandatory, in other words, we've accepted it almost as a nether, at least men, to daven Maariv. Women did not accept it like that, and therefore most women don't daven Maariv. They daven Shachris and Mincha, but Maariv, since Maariv anyway is a voluntary prayer, and it's only men that made it obligatory on themselves, women never did that, so many women have the minig not of davening. Now, Shachris and Mincha, Avraham instituted Shachris, it says, Amida. He made Shachris of standing up. That's Shachris. Okay? Mincha is Sicha. Either talking, walking, right? Those are active tefillos. And you have to daven them, because tefillah is an activity. Tefillah is something that charges up the energy of the world. So Shachris, you're charging up by standing, and the other one by walking. But Maariv is pigia. Pigia means to confront, confrontation. Again, you come against that stone wall, and what is the stone wall? Vayivka bamakom, God. You come face to face with God, and you can't move on. God's standing there holding you back, as if. And he's the makom. Makom means that God is the place of the world, not the world is his place. Meaning that now God takes over, and his hashgacha, his divine providence, basically makes us passive objects and not active participants anymore. Okay? And, right. And therefore, what's it called? We say to an oval, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. God, who is the Hashgacha, right? Accept that as your comfort, that God makes everything in the world significant because everything exists within him. So if you have a tragedy, it exists within him, meaning that he gives it meaning. It's not hefker. It's not in vain. Okay. That's why Shachris, we get up, Mincha, we have a little Menucha, we walk and Spatzir, we Mitayel, right, and talk to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. But Arvis, the Sfasemes says Arvis means to mix together. Eruv, Irbuv. We mix our nefesh with our guf, the physical side of us, the body and the physical life force mix together, and that's what we are. We're basically asleep. When you're asleep, your neshama is inactive, your ruach is inactive, you don't talk. What is active? You're basically your body. Your body, your heart beats, you breathe. So your nefesh and your body are active, but your ruach and your neshama are to a certain degree inactive. And that's why it says that really, Yaakov, what's it called, Paras Yosef says that Mariv is a reshus because it has no limit, right? You can, what's it called, do it early, late. The same thing with Galus. Galus can be long, can be short, depends on us. It depends if we deserve it, then we'll get out of Galus early. And if we don't deserve it, we'll get out of Golas late. So Mariv also is a long time. It's not a short time thing. It's a long time thing. And that's why when Yaakov went to sleep and he represented the Golas that was coming, which is like sleep, he had a dream. The dream was a ladder. Okay, what's the ladder? With angels going up and down. Many Mefarshim say that the ladder is the symbol of God's Hashgacha in the world. That everything is ordained by God and is put into motion by angels that come up and come down. And all of these things were going through Yaakov. Yaakov is sleeping. He's dreaming. And he is an object, a passive object, where the Hashgacha is now using him in order to do what has to be done in the world. Instead of him being in the forefront of initiating the Hashgacha, which is what we have in the Beis HaMikdash. Then we had Avoda. Avoda is, what's it called? Yehi ratzon lefanecha, may be your will. Avoda is causing God's will. So here, instead of causing God's will, being the initiators, we are being passive and we are the object of God's will, who's using us as a pawn to make his will work throughout the world, bringing the geula eventually. Right? So on the one hand, we're inactive. It's like a death. On the other hand, it's invigorating, it's refreshing that we're getting the rest that we need to be able, that God should prepare us for awakening when the geula comes. In the Zohar, it says that the Malachi Elohim that were going up and down the ladder are the prayers of the Jewish people. Those are those angels. In Golus, what we have pretty much is prayer. We don't have sacrifices, we don't have Eretz Yisrael in its full glory. What do we have left? Prayer. That is, and prayer can be active, but prayer can be very passive too, that I put myself in God's hands and tell him, God, look, you call the shots, I'm putting myself in your hands, you do it for me. And that's why the Sulam in Gematria is Sinai. Because everything has that potential only through the Torah. Through the Matan Torah, the giving of Torah, the fact that we receive the Torah. Because of that, everything functions around us. All of God's divine providence functions around us because we're the nation that received the Torah on Sinai. And that's when God came down to give the Torah. His relationship with the world is through the Torah. So since we are the ones who accepted the Torah, so God's divine providence revolves around us. That's why the word Sulam has the same numerical value as three words: kol, voice, mammon, money, and Tzom. And those are the words that appear in the Machzor and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur above. Tfila, Tshuva, Tzedakah, Mavir, Nisroa, Hagzera. Tshuva is Tzom, fasting. Tfila is Kol, voice. And Tzedakah is Mammon. They all equal 136. The symbolism is that in Galus we have that Sulam, which is these three things, because there are Gzeros that we have to put up with, right? There are decrees. But what enables us to annul those bad decrees? Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. That's how we can be active. We're not really active. We're pawns of God's hashgacha. But lemaisa, it's tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, which is the sulam, that enables us to withstand the negative aspects of galus. And it's interesting that mammon, right, money, has the same gematria as oni, poverty. Because in galus it could go either way. Sometimes we have the money, sometimes we have the poverty, right? And that's what galus is all about. It's a ladder. Sulam is mammon, sulam is oni. Right? That ladder can be up, it can be down. Sometimes we need the ups of galus, sometimes we need the down, and it's all a preparation for being able to wake up in the morning of Geula and have our powers reinvigorated. And that's why Yaakov prayed, V'hoya Hashem li levokim. Hashem is Yudke Vavke, is God as the creator. Mahaveh. Mahaveh means the one who brought everything into existence. He creates existence. He's a powerful, active God. So when we are connected to Hashem, then we're also powerfully active. We are God's representatives. We initiate His will. But Elohim is God within the confines of nature. Elohim in gematria is Hateva. So Yaakov said, now going into Galus now, Hashem is going to change into Elohim for me. It's not going to be anymore the active, dynamic me. It's going to be the one who is the passive, who has to put up with all the hashgacha around me, but maintain myself and reinvigorate myself and wait for the time that I'll be able to wake up. That's Hashem Elohim. And that answers another question. The Gemara says in Brachos that when you say goodbye to a living person, you say Lech Lishalom, go towards peace. When you say goodbye to a nifter, to somebody who's no longer alive, right, final farewell, you say Lech Bishalom, go in peace. The Marsha explains, peace, Shalom means Shlemus, perfection. A living person is always going towards perfection. He's never reached it. So he always has more to accomplish. He's active, dynamic. You're always going towards perfection. A person who died basically has reached the perfection he's going to reach. He's not going towards any more perfection. He's going now to cash in the perfection that he did. But whatever he has, he has. He's going bishalom with the perfection that he achieved. The living person is going towards perfection. If that's the case, why did Yaakov Avinu say when in his prayer, V'shafti bishalom l'beis avi, and I will return in peace to my father's house? He's talking about himself as a living person. He should have said V'shafti lishalom, according to the formula the Gemara says. But what we said answers the question perfectly. Yaakov Avinu was going into galus. Galus is like death. It's a time of inactivity where what you have, you have. You try to maintain it. Very hard for the Jewish people to be active, dynamic, and go ahead. We're up against that stone wall. We can't go ahead, but we can maintain, reinvigorate. That's what Galus is all about. In order that we should be able to have those powers and dream. We dream for the future. That we should be able to have those powers in the future. But basically, a person in Galus, like he's dead. So Yaakov Avinu said, V'shafti bishalom. I'm just hoping that I won't deteriorate. At least I'll maintain myself and in that way reinvigorate myself in the future. And that's what it says. When he said, Mishafti b'shalom, I'll come back in peace, he meant that chet, sin, would not cause him to suffer, not cause him defeat. And sin, chet, means chesaron, something missing. I know that this is maintenance. This is not going on and creating more. But at least don't let me lose what I have. Let me be able to maintain myself in Galus without losing, without coming back, wanting, missing. At least I've maintained what I had. I may not be able to grow in Galus. Klal Yisrael may be not able to grow the way they can when they have a Melech and they have Eretz Yisrael and they have a Beis HaMikdash. But at least we can maintain ourselves, regroup, reinvigorate, right, rest up in Galus and be passive, right, let the Hashgacha deal with you. You're like you're dead, but it's not like death, it's like sleep, which has one aspect of death and another aspect of being reinvigorated. And that's why it says, the Telzer Rosh Hashiva explains, it says, Vayetze Yaakov, it should have said Vayivrach Yaakov, like it says in the Navi. He was running away. He wasn't going like, you know, on purpose. But once you accept the fact that God is calling the shots, and you are an object, and God is using you as a pawn to fulfill his will in the world, and the everything revolves around the Jewish people, if you accept that, then even if Hashgacha pushes you in a certain direction, then you're doing it willingly, because I'm willing to go where God wants me to go. I take the hint, and I'm going then. It's not running away. I'm not running away. It's Leich Kishilachecho Hashem. What does that mean? When Yonah's son went to feel out his father's shawl to see if he still wanted to kill David. So they made up a pact. And David was going to hide because he was afraid that his father would send people to capture David. Follow Yonah's son into the forest and find out where David was and spring upon him, capture him and kill him. So David had to hide. So Yonah's son came and he said, I tell my boy to shoot his arrows, and he goes after them. If I tell him the arrows are closer by, that means everything's clear, all clear. You can come out, and my father doesn't want to kill you. But if I tell him the arrows are beyond you, then you should know that Shaul wants to kill you, and Leich, you better run, Kishilachecho Hashem, because God has sent you. So it tells you, Rosh Hashiva says, what do you mean, because God has sent you? Run, because Shaul wants to kill you. God didn't send him anywhere. He said, but if you see that God makes things work out, that Shaul is a danger to you, then that means that God's sending you somewhere. Take the hint. You're an object of Hashgacha. So if you see that things are working out that push you in a certain direction, right, take the initiative and realize that's where God wants you to go. So that's why it says by Yaakov, after this dream, by Yisa Yaakov Ra, he picked up his feet and he went. Because even though he's now passive, and God is the one who's the makom, who is the place of the world where everything takes place within God's will, right? Still, if you understand that and you recognize that, then you acquiesce to it, then it's as if you're doing it as a shlichus, you're doing it as a mission that God is sending you on, because you being the object of his divine providence, if you take the initiative, you'll understand that it's something that, it's a divine mission that God's sending you. And that's what's it called. That's why it says in the Medrash, when Yaakov went, it says, "Oz teilech levetach darkecha." Then you'll go with surety on your way, ki malachav yitzavloch, and the angels will protect you in everywhere you go. Because if you understand that galus is a time where you can't initiate, but you have to take what God sends your way, but make the best of it. Use it as a tikkun, whatever it may be. Good, bad, right? Sometimes it'll be good things, sometimes it'll be bad things. Or look bad things, bitter things. So use it, then you'll be able to reinvigorate. That's the way to recharge the battery to come to back to Eretz Yisrael. This week we saw the Hashgachas Hashem in faraway lands. Jews are affected, and all different kinds of Jews in the same place. We see that, look, Golus is a debilitating thing. We don't understand. But on the other hand, if we accept the fact that God's running the world, and he knows where the world's going and where it has to go, and he's manipulating everything to come to that goal, and we're passively part of all of that, it all revolves around us, which you see, the whole world revolves around us. So then if we understand that and we acquiesce to it, then the Golus will be a very productive sleep. Right, and eventually we will wake up from the galus, right, with the dreams that we've had for the future, and the dreams will come true, just like they came true for Yaakov Avinu. Okay, any questions on this? Yeah.
Who said the Lech Kishalach HaChashem was ready
with that? The Telzer Rosh Hashiva of Rav Meir Bloch. He said it, I'll tell you in the context he said it in. He said it, he and his brother-in-law were sent from Lithuania to try to reestablish the yeshiva in America and bring, like they did in Mir, they went to Shanghai, they were thinking before the Nazis invaded Lithuania to move the yeshiva. And it took them about 6 months to get to America. When they got there, the Nazis invaded Lithuania, and while they were in America, their entire families were murdered. One lost 10 children and a wife, and they didn't know, because there was no news. They didn't know till months later. When the news finally came through, right? So they sat Shiva and they whatever. And the first speech, Shir, that the Shiva gave after he had found out that his whole family was lost, he said this thing. He said that, you know, we thought we're running away from the Nazis or whatever, but if you have to run away, then it means that God has a mission for you. And now we see that our mission is to reestablish what was destroyed there, right? So that's what Tzotzi said.
You said Mincha was associated with walking?
Yeah, it says, well, when Yitzchak established Mincha, the Torah uses the terminology, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basode. Yitzchak went to either converse or to spazier, to, what's the word? Not to walk,
stroll.
To, what?
Wander.
Wander.
Stroll.
What?
Stroll.
Stroll, that's exactly the word. Thank you, that is the word. Stroll, what?
How do you spell
Sicha? Sin Yud Chesed. Yeah.
And when we're talking about the stuff on this, we talked about Myra being an ear boot.
Right.
So you're saying it's a combination of
the nefesh, the nefesh and the goof. The nefesh means the animal life force, right? And the goof is a physical body.
Why would it be?
Because chakras. This is Sasemis says chakras is in the shama. Right. You get up. Mincha is your ruach. Right, that's conversation. Talk comes from the ruach of the person. So mincha is the conversation, the ruach of the person. Shachris, you get up, your neshama picks you up, and that's why you stand erect. Right,
right.
You get neshama. And mariv, it's not the neshama. It's a time of darkness, inactivity. Right.
So
all that's involved then is your body and the animal life force. That keeps going. You know, your heart's beating and you're breathing, but you're basically asleep. So what is there at night? Your body and your life force, that's what's active.
Isn't Gaulis like not so much inactivity, but the opposite? Like you have to work even harder to keep yourself afloat in the darkness.
Right, but you're not going anywhere. You're just maintenance. That's the idea. You're maintaining. Jewish people aren't going to go ahead and excel and whatever. We're just trying to maintain ourselves, reinvigorate ourselves, have the dreams that we need, but we're up against a stone wall, literally.
You don't want to light it up?
Like, we would love to light it up, but unfortunately we are on the passive receiving end and not on the active dynamic end anymore.